Blessings and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Guys, welcome to Experiencing Real Life. This is PT here coming at you from Big Time Burleson, Texas. In the studios, behind the stage, I'm in the booth with my good friend Mason. How you doing, Mason?
Doing great, sir.
Good. I'm doing great, man. I see you're out of jail. I'm so proud of you. I'm just clapping for you. That's great. Way to go, man. And guys, I want to welcome you here to the podcast today. Now, friends, I do want to remind you that you can call if you need prayer, if you need help, if you need, you know, resources, whatever. You can always call 877-413-0888. Or if you want to sign up for this podcast, if you're listening through some other venue, you can always go to troybrewer.com, or you can go to Spotify or iHeartRadio or any of those kinds of places and just type in Troy Brewer or Experiencing Real Life and you'll get this. I'm trying really hard to bring next level people to this thing as we talk about just the kingdom. I'm a kingdom guy, and the people that I invite on this program are kingdom people. Most of us are business people. Some of us are authors. We're all going after it. We're all taking on hell with a water pistol, and that brings me to my guest here today. When I first heard about this guy that I'm about to introduce y'all to, I first heard about him. I actually saw him and didn't know who he was. And I said, "Who's that guy over there?" And they said, "That's Brother Scott Volk." And I went, "Scott Volk, I know that guy. How do I know that guy?" And I couldn't figure out how I knew, but I knew several friends that actually knew this guy. And I want to tell you that Scott Volk is a Messianic Jew. And according to his Amazon page, it says he came to faith in 1975. For the record, I wasn't born yet in 75.
Oh,
right?
Come on, bro.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was, man. I was born in 66, so I was around in 75. And so it says, man, that you graduated from CFI in Dallas and that you were a pastor all over the place. And then you got out of that, and today you have a ministry that's called Together for Israel. And that's all about hooking up the body of Christ with Israel, which you know I am extremely passionate about. Friends, this is Scott Volk. How are you, buddy? You doing good, man?
My gosh, PT, I love calling you PT, Pastor Troy. I am doing great, and I got to tell you, it's a real honor to be on the show with you, and I love you, and I love what God's doing in and through you.
Thanks, man. I love you, too. Last time I saw you, we were in London together.
Yes.
And I think that after we did that conference, what was that conference called? What was that we did?
I think it was called Courts of Heaven, with our friend Robert Henderson.
Golly, Robert Henderson, what a stud. I love Robert Henderson, man. He's actually going to be here speaking to all of my staff next week. He's going to be here.
Awesome.
Just pouring into all of my staff, spending the afternoon with my staff. He lives here local, so I'll tell you what, I kind of lean on him. I call him, "Dude, come back over here." And he's so good to do that.
That's great, bro.
But you know what, man? Your message that you preached there, I'm telling you, I liked your message. I'm telling you, it made a tremendous impact on me. Number one, you came out and it was so funny. It was so real. It was so authentic. And you came out and you were just like, bam, bam, bam. And the way the Holy Spirit used you, you know, your bride, I think her name is Beth. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Yay,
that's correct.
I'm so glad I remember that. We were sitting there next to Beth and my bride, Leanna, and we were sitting there. And dude, how God used you at that conference was way next level. Thank you for bringing it, man.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for blessing me with your encouraging words. You know, it's always awesome, Troy, when we get to share from our life, when God does something in our life, and then we get to share it as opposed to something we just study and learn. That's why I love listening to you. That's why I love listening to Robert Henderson. So when I got to share that day, I was really sharing something that God did in my life. And when you share from your life, you can touch other people's lives. And I mean, I'm all about studying. I'm all about learning. But maybe the reason why that message had any kind of punch to it was because it was something that God was doing in me, and I love sharing that kind of stuff.
You know what, Robert? I just called you Robert.
You can call me Robert. You can call me whatever you want, dude. That's okay.
Bob, I want to tell you that, no, actually, Scott, I do know your name. I was just thinking about Robert Henson. The way that I like to put it, the way I like to think about it is this. Listen, we need to go after revelation, but once we get revelation, the revelation in itself is not so that we can just have another wrinkle within our brain. It's to actually accept the green light to experience that thing.
Come on, bro. That's
and then
awesome.
It's out of that. You know, guys, brother, so much of the body of Christ is just after a revelation, and then it stops there. Well, dude, that is an invitation. That is an invitation. It is. And it's a great big green light.
And I believe one reason why God gives revelation, he's looking for people to give revelation to who will then take it to the next level. I really don't think he's interested in wasting, you know, opening the eyes and hearts of people if they're going to keep that for themselves. I really believe that revelation, as you said, is given for the purpose of seeing his kingdom come in the earth today. So for those of us who are hungry for revelation, I say, let's be hungry for revelation. And let's also be willing, once we have that, to change the world with it. That's what God's looking for.
Well, we actually carry that with us for the rest of our life. You know, the gifts and the callings of God are absolutely without repentance. And once you find God in a whole new way, there's a way that you carry God for the rest of your life from that encounter. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Not, oh, study and see that the Lord is good, but actually taste and see, you know. Oh, it doesn't say, oh, and theorize, you know. It's like, no, you have to personally experience that. But again, a lot of times you don't even know it's possible. You don't even know such a thing exists. And you certainly don't know that you have a green light until you get the revelation. And so that's where that comes into play for me.
Yeah, that's really, really, really good. And I really believe, my friend, that this world is hungry for kingdom people who will share God's revelation, not only with their mouth, but with their life.
Yes.
It's easy to teach, it's easy to talk, but when we live it out with our life, I love that you said, you know, that you're a kingdom man, and it resonated so much with me, Troy, because when I see God moving in and through kingdom men and kingdom women, the world ends up being changed. You know, Jesus in John, I think it's 18, said, "My kingdom is not of this world."
That's right.
And I believe that there's like this cosmic battle going on. You've got the worldly wisdom.
Yes.
And you've got kingdom wisdom.
Yes.
And many times kingdom wisdom is directly opposed to worldly wisdom.
Absolutely.
And the funny thing is, and the crazy thing is that many times worldly wisdom works.
Mm-hmm.
It works from man's perspective. But when we start appropriating kingdom wisdom, what works doesn't even matter. But where God is matters. You know, Moses struck the rock. That worked and water came out, but unfortunately it cost Moses his inheritance. So just because something works doesn't necessarily mean that God is behind it and blessed by it. He's looking for us to follow his revelation. What was his revelation to Moses? Speak to the rock.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, when we operate in that kind of revelation, I believe the world is hungry for that, and God's kingdom comes as men and women who are not of this world, bro, operate with that kind of authority. And so that just really blessed me that you said that.
Well, you know, one of the things that I say all the time, and I say it from the pulpit, I say it at the outreaches we do in prisons or in trash dumps or saving girls out of sexual trafficking, whatever it is, whatever venue, because honestly, I don't care. I mean, I don't care how the kingdom comes. I don't have an agenda. The kingdom has to come this way or else it's not legit. I mean, that's crazy, you know?
Right.
And it's one of the reasons why, you know, there's a huge lid on revival in the United States is because everybody is looking for revival the last way it came. And then not only do they not recognize it the next way the kingdom comes, but they actually fight against it. And then they fight for what no longer matters. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to be involved in those kinds of battles. But one of the things I say all the time, brother, is I say, hey, look, guys, I know this is radical. This is normal kingdom. It's just not normal Christianity. I say that all the time, right?
That's
like, you know,
awesome.
Okay, and I'm illustrating, you know, I'll be illustrating, hey, how come Open Door Church, you know, has 5,000 people in it? We don't have any money in the bank. Well, because we're able to feed people, we're able to help people who will never go to our church, and we're going to continue to do that. Well, what the heck, that is so strange. Well, it's strange for church, but it's not strange for the kingdom. It's strange for Christianity, but it's not strange for the kingdom. And that brings me to your book, dude. All right, man. Uh-oh. Oh my gosh. You talk about looking for a fight. You titled your book, Jesus Was Not a Christian. Dude, that's way up there. That's just like Phariseeectomy. Okay.
Yeah.
That is so awesome, dude. Well, it is so awesome.
Let me tell you why I titled the book that. I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus. I'm 54 years old.
Okay.
For 40 years of my life, Troy, I actually stayed away from anything that looked Jewish. And I was born a Jew. Because let me tell you what happened is when I was growing up.
I literally mean, I'm sorry you stayed away. Not that you were born a Jew.
I know exactly what you meant. But here's the deal. As I was growing up, I saw many in the quote unquote church feeling like if they weren't Jewish, they were missing out on something. So I would see non-Jewish people starting to act Jewish and wearing Jewish, Jewish yarmulkes and prayer shawls and saying Hebrew words and somehow thinking that God would love them more. And I literally revolted against that. And then, bro, God kind of radically changed me out of the blue. I was visiting an underprivileged children's center in Israel in 2005. I walked through the doors of this place. I and the group that I was with, we were bearing gifts for these kids because it was around Hanukkah time. And when we walked in, I looked at the eyes of these kids, some of the poorest kids in the city. And I heard the Lord speak to my inner man, in as much as you've done it to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done it to me. And Troy, for the first time in my life, I had a revelation. You know, we talked about what happens when you get a revelation. Mm-hmm. I had a revelation that these kids were literally the least of Jesus's brothers.
Wow.
Because listen, he was talking about Israel in Matthew 25, that God, you know, he's going to separate nations like a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats.
Yes.
And the sheep nations are the ones that embrace Israel. So here I was as a Jew getting a revelation that these kids are the least of his brothers. And so I started a ministry called Together for Israel. And out of all that we've been doing and the revelation that I feel like the Lord's given me, I wrote this book because here's the deal. We've put Jesus in our own Western mindset.
Yes.
You know, if you look at pictures of him, he's white, Anglo-Saxon. Right. Sometimes he looks Catholic.
Yeah.
It depends where you go.
Right.
And I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm not anti-anything. Here's what I am, though. I'm pro-God and Jesus. Jesus, he was born a Jew.
Yes.
He lived a Jew.
Yes.
He died king of the Jews.
Yes.
And he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Come
on. Sometimes I say Jew, duh. You got to get it.
So. I get it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know what, man? Look, let's just track on this because I have a huge passion about this myself. And before I talk to you about this, let me just tell you my personal part of that is I'm a sixth generation Texan. I'm a 16th generation American. I mean, my people have been here. One of my ancestors, the Brewers, was one of the original mayors of Jamestown. We are as Western as you can possibly imagine. Okay. I mean, we are as Western as you can be. And I've even done a DNA test. The only Jew I've got in me is Jesus. I don't have any Jewish blood in me. I look for it. And honestly, man, I did have this religious thing thinking, I just know I'm going to do this and it's going to turn out I'm actually Jewish. I knew it. And it was like, what the heck? Not even a smidgen of a percentage. I was like, what? and you know what? It wasn't in my family to celebrate Jewish culture. It wasn't any of that. The reason why I fell in love with all things Hebrew is because I fell in love with Jesus, and I actually saw him as a Jew because I didn't know any better. I wasn't churched before I got saved. I just fell in love with Jesus and got a Bible and went, oh, this cool Jew guy. Okay, that's actually God. Wow, cool.
Yeah.
And nobody taught me to see him in any other way other than as the Bible described him. And if you see him in the book of Matthew, my gosh, and not realize how Jewish he actually was,
then
you're
right.
Just not reading the book of Matthew. And so
it's really true. I mean, that's true.
Go ahead.
The very first verse of the New Testament This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You can't get much more. It's like the whole New Testament starts out with this resounding proclamation that Jesus was a Jew. You know, there were no such things as Christians. That's obviously, right. You know this, when Jesus came, he didn't come to start a new religion called Christianity. He came to fulfill everything that was written about him in the law and the prophets. And that's, bro, that's really why I wrote this book. And you and I know are tracking here with we this are. because here's the deal, bro. You could be 100% Texan and 0% Jew, but as soon as we have the Lord in us, as soon as we receive him as our king,
yes,
we've got Jesus' blood in our veins. And
yes,
when he looks down, he doesn't see Scott the Jew and Troy the Texan or whatever you are. He sees his boys, you know.
Yes,
we're sons of God, and that's the cool thing.
Okay, so whenever I want to talk to you about this, because there's a couple of different things I'd like for us to get into. You've pastored churches, right?
Yeah.
And you actually lived through it, which
I lived through it, bro.
That's amazing, man. So you've pastored churches, you know, you're running a ministry now, you're in way over your head.
Yeah.
And you've seen the different levels of how God has used you in different kind of enterprises, all of them kingdom enterprises, but some of them church, a lot of them non-church, you know, in authoring and all these kinds of things. How do you discern who, number one, you have to have a value for the people that you're connected to, and that's a next level thing that happens within the Holy Spirit as you go from level to level, level, level. How do you discern? Well, how do you learn? And how do you judge the kind of people that you feel like you need to be hooked up with and the kind of people that you don't?
Oh, I love that question, bro. I was raised in Christian community. The guy that led me to the Lord was a man by the name of Art Katz. He started a community in northern Minnesota where people came and lived together. And I am a huge proponent of relationships. I believe that relationships, when relationships are primary, everything else falls into place. The Bible from start to finish talks about relationships and unity of the Spirit. So for me, Troy, what I have done in all of my years is I just say, Lord, you connect me with the people who you want me to be connected with. And everybody that crosses my path,
okay, there it is,
becomes a candidate to have a relationship with me. Now, I'm not saying they're a candidate and they have to meet up to my measure. For me, though, I really pray, and I'm like, Lord, who do you want? When people cross my path, I want to go out of my way. And I don't care whether they have $1 million in the bank or whether they owe $1 million. I don't care if they're a pastor or a plumber. I just feel like God places people in our paths because we need each other.
Come on, brother.
And I have prayed, and my prayer has been, Lord, if there's anybody you don't want me to connect with, you show me and you make it real to me. But for me, I believe that people come across my path and God is looking at how I'm going to respond to them. And I feel like as long as I can be a person who demonstrates Jesus's disposition, who was always there to give rather than to receive, who was always there to serve rather than be served, then my relationships are going to be kingdom focused as opposed to Scott focused. And unfortunately, my friend, many people, and I'm as susceptible to it as anybody, we look to have relationships with people who can give us something or who can make us better. But when our motivation for relating with people is, how can I serve you and what can I do for you and how can I pray for you?
Yes.
And how, then that's kingdom. And those kinds of relationships withstand the fiery darts of the evil one. So I love that you asked that question. I believe relationships are primary. And I just pray, Lord, you allow those people to cross my path that you want me to be connected with.
Come on. Okay, listen, I can't tell you how much I subscribe to what you just said. And here's how I put it. And I've never talked to anybody that just said what you just said. I'm always saying what you just said to other people. And you're the first person I have ever spoken to that is like that, which means you're probably just as strange as I am. But the bottom line in all of that is I never go looking for ministry and I never go looking for relationships. I go looking for Jesus and the kingdom. And then the Lord brings me those things.
I love it.
in right relationship with the Father, is as illustrated in the garden, Adam didn't go out looking for the animals that he would have dominion over and he would partner with. The Father brought them to him.
Excellent.
And so his whole deal was to find the Father every day, to meet him in the cool of the day and to find the Father. That was his deal. And then the Lord would always bring something with him. And I think just in our pursuit of the kingdom, like, I never go looking for ministry anymore. Oh my gosh. Number one, I got more irons in the fire than I know what to do with. But besides that, what comes to me is the things that God, number one, he believes he can trust me with. And number two, it's also the things that I can trust him with because he brought it to me. The whole reason why we do, you know, orphanage ministry is because I found a baby in a trash dump, you know, 20 some odd years ago. The reason why we save girls out of sexual trafficking is because somebody brought me two little girls in Costa Rica and said, "Do you want to buy these little girls?" And I went, "I do." And I bought them and I took them to an orphanage and told them, "Nobody's ever going to touch you again. Nobody's ever going to hurt you again." But I didn't go looking for that. You know, I was just down there doing the kingdom stuff, and then God brought that to me as part of the journey. And I think relationally, you know, everything that happens in the kingdom is relational. Everything. Yep. Everything in the kingdom is relational before it's functional. And so that means we have to be huge kingdom people. And in our pursuit of the kingdom, we also get the right relationships.
Yes, sir. I love that. I mean, think about the people that the Lord allowed his prophets and his sons and his kings cross paths within the word. I'm just reminded of Elijah. I mean, it's early on in Elijah's ministry. The brook dries up. God sends him to Zarephath. And there's this widow who's on her last meal. Most ministers today would probably bypass that person to get to the wealthy person in town so that their ministry can be upheld a wealthy person. But here the man of God is put in front of a woman who's on her last meal. And because he was so in tune with God to connect with this lady and vice versa, he brings resurrection life to her family when her son dies. I just feel like there are, and what does the Bible say? Be careful to entertain. How does the verse go about entertaining strangers? That the Bible says, be careful to do it because we don't know. We could be entertaining an angel unaware that God's going to allow our paths to be crossed with people that are going to make our calling in this earth so much more full. So, bro, I'm wholeheartedly amening you, my friend.
Well, that's just about paying attention and being watchful, as the Bible says. Just be watchful. Yeah. Pay attention to supernatural things. Be looking for certain things to happen. And one of the things I'm looking for all the time is I'm looking for God to bring things to me. And so one of the things I do every day, Scott, is I pray literally every single day, "Thank you, God, for all the good things that are coming to me today that I don't have a clue about." And I literally start off my day with thanking God for the things that he's bringing to me. And so, look, man, we've actually been talking for 30 minutes. Can you believe that?
So it's no, I can't.
I know. It's crazy. So
how long is your podcast?
It's 30 minutes.
just disappeared.
So we've actually been talking for 24 minutes, man, and the time has gone by so fast. And I want to be able to close up with two different things. Number one, what is the impact? What is the voice? And what does Jesus Was Not a Christian actually say? What is it all about?
Yeah, here's what it's all about, and I'll put it in a mud shell. In a nutshell.
Excellent. Welcome to Johnson County, a mud shell.
Anyway, here's the deal. I believe that one important piece of the puzzle that is absent in many churches today is the Israel piece of the puzzle. Mm. You know, I just think it's very, very important. If you spend hours and hours on a jigsaw puzzle and you find out that it's missing one piece, it looks entirely, I don't care if it's 1,000 pieces or 10,000 pieces, one piece missing makes the thing look incomplete. Yep. And the reason why I wrote this book is I desire for people's hearts to be open to God's heart for Israel. Because here's the deal, Troy. God made unconditional, everlasting promises and covenants with Israel. And if he has changed those covenants with them, he can change his covenant with us. He has not changed his covenant with them.
That's right.
And as surely as God keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations, he keeps it to Israel and he keeps it to the church. But the church right now, I believe, is the key to seeing the return of the Messiah come. And here's, I'm not a big eschatological guy, but Jesus can't come back until Israel welcomes him back. That's he wept right. over Jerusalem and said, you will not see me again till That's you right. welcome me back.
That's right.
And the Jewish people can't welcome him back until the church comes into its fullness. When the fullness of the nations, the Gentiles, comes in, then all Israel will be saved. So God has a plan for the church. We need to see the world evangelized. We need to see women, you know, rescued out of sex trades. We need to see life in our churches. But we also need to recognize that salvation's come to the nations to provoke Israel to jealousy. My heart in this book is that as people read it, they'll get a grounding in the word as to Jesus's mission, which was, by the way, only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Thank God he extended that mission after Jesus yes. died through Cornelius in Acts yes. 10 to yes. the nations. And now we have a role as the church to stand with Israel, not politically, but biblically, stand with them and believe with them that as surely as God made his promise to them of salvation, so it will come to pass. And Lord, what is my role in Israel's salvation and in the salvation of the nations?
I recognize that there is a great favor of God upon my life, and I mean, anybody that knows me knows that. I mean, it's stupid. It is so undeserved. It is ridiculous, the things that happen for me everywhere I go. And I know that a big, huge part of that is not only do I love the poor all over the world, but I love Israel. And I have a huge, huge monster heart for Israel. I think last year, I don't know, but Open Door, I mean, we actually supported Israel to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars last year.
Come on, brother. Come on.
And we do that, man. And when we do that every – and I mean, there's not a Jew among us. And it's not because we don't let them. It's just because there's not many – if there are any Jews in Johnson County, they don't tell anybody.
So, oh, that's hilarious.
So I'm like,
that
hey.
Is hilarious.
But the reason why we love Israel is because we love Jesus. And if we love Jesus, then if we fear the Lord, then we're going to love what God loves and we're going to hate what God hates. And it's just Amen. That simple for me. It is not, it's not anything weird. I'm not going to, you know, wear, you know, a yarmulke. I'm not going to have little curlies on the side of my head. I'm not going to do all that cool stuff. I'm going to do my cool Texan stuff. But you know what? Yeah. I am a voice among the Gentiles that says, yes. come quickly, Lord Jesus. And he's not coming back to Joshua, Texas. He's coming back to Jerusalem, Israel. That's where he's
really
coming back
truth,
to.
Bro.
And so, man,
it's
we stand. Really and I'm talking about stand. I mean, we stand with Israel. And we don't just support the government, man. We have to support the body of Jesus that's there. You
that's
have to support it. It's such a big deal.
It is such a big deal. Unfortunately, many Christians get caught up in the political yes. aspects of Israel. Here's what I like to say. If you look at Israel through a political lens, you're going to end up hating either Arabs or Jews or both. If you look at Israel through a biblical lens, you're going to end up loving both Arabs and Jews.
Wow.
So for me, if you're going to really be pro-Israel, you're also going to be pro-Arab, pro
sure.
world, pro-nation.
Sure, sure.
So anyway, yeah, that's good, bro.
Oh, well, you know what? The last time I was over there, we actually met with a whole bunch of Arab Christians. And I'll tell you, some of the greatest persecuted people on the planet Earth are Christian Arabs living in Israel.
So oh, yeah, they are.
I was like, dang, man, you talk about the wrong side of the track.
I know.
Wow. Well, you know what? It's well, again, man,
yeah.
we are to stand with the heart of Jesus. And
that's yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh. And if we're not standing with the heart of Jesus, and that means Jesus is not the head, and that means the body is decapitated and it's dead and it's good for nothing but just staking out the place. We have to let Jesus rule and reign. Amen?
It's really the truth. Amen and amen. And it goes back to your original statement about being kingdom men and women, because it's not that costly to not be kingdom men and women. And I don't think we're a threat to the principalities and powers or
That's
to
right.
the devil himself when we just do things in a worldly way. But when we grab hold of the kingdom, God's kingdom heart for Israel and the nations, we become a threat to the devil. He knows our names and we're marked men and women, but that's God's plan for us, that
awesome.
We would fulfill his purpose in this generation.
Friends, you're listening to Brother Scott Volk, and he's the author of Jesus Was Not a Christian, and you can find that togetherforisrael.org. He also has an Amazon page. I want to just say he only has one book. I think I have like 15 on mine. I just want to just throw that out there.
But that's awesome.
He's
that's
like,
awesome.
I love it. You're so cool, man. So guys, listen, find him at Together for Israel. If you are not already actively participating in some form of tangible way that you're connected to the land, to the people, to the promise of Israel. Man, I encourage you, go to togetherforisrael.com. I think it's actually .org, togetherforisrael.org. And you can also just email him. If you got hate mail, just write him at Scott at togetherforisrael.org, Scott at togetherforisrael.org. Scott, it's been so great having you, man.
Pastor Troy, thank you. It's an honor to be here. It means the world that I get to be on this podcast, because I know you have people who wrote books who've sold millions. Bro, I've sold hundreds, but I still made it on your show.
Oh, man. Well, I'm blessed that I made it on your list to be on this show, and I'm not just saying that, man. It's a really big deal to me, and I want to encourage you. Would you please tell your bride that I said hello? Will you do that?
I will do that. You do the same for Luann and your family, and I look forward to the next time we're on the same piece of earth together.
I will. My friend, I love you so much, and I call you blessed in Jesus' name, man. You have a great day.
Thanks. You too, brother.
Well, friends, you've been listening to Brother Scott Volk, and what's real is he actually is a friend of mine, and he's just like that. How you just heard him is how he is 24/7. I mean, he's just like that. He's happy. He's full of life. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He's one of the most healthy guys I've ever been around to hang around, and I just love him. I hope that you are enjoying this podcast, and if you have not yet subscribed to it, man, be sure and visit us at troybrewer.com. And you can call us. We have our own calling center here at Open Door, and it's 877-413-0888. And typically we're manning it. And if we don't have anybody man it, we have a professional service that helps us with that. So you can count on somebody answering the phone. If you need prayer, if you need resources, if you need something, just call us at 877-413-0888. If you'd like to participate in this by giving, you can text the word give to 806-607-8257. It's not necessary for you to give. It's just appreciated. And man, I appreciate you guys standing with us. Well, guys, that's all the time that I have for today. Man, join us next week on Experiencing Real Life. And I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.